Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand new episode of the Rocker Dog Podcast, the only show out there talking to musicians about their wonderful canine companions. I'm your guest host, Holly Hayes, reporting to you under the direction of my expert dog panel, John J. Rambo, the German Shepherd, Paris, the Siberian Husky, and June, the Pity Mix. And today, we're happy to bring you our conversation with Tina Halliday of Sheer Mag, whose new album, Playing Favorites, was released last month on Jack White's Third Man Records. And this is her male energy coveting rocker dog.
His name is actually, his full name is The Rocker, which is funny. And but I call him Rock.
Like Dwayne Johnson? He's The Rock?
No, actually, it is funny that, because his name was, because his eyebrow, he was Dwayne The Rock at the shelter.
Yeah.
He's got the people's eyebrow. But I adopted him actually on the anniversary of like the singer of Thin Lizzy's death, Phil Lynott. And he was known as The Rocker. And I felt like that was more like appropriate for like my interest, and it was an easy transition, you know.
Yeah, so. Well, it fits so with your lifestyle, right?
Yeah, so he's
so
the
there's
this,
there's some good significance into his name. Does he have a bunch of nicknames? Because I know my dogs, I don't know where I come up with some of these nicknames, but they all have like 17 different names. What do you call them?
Rocky, you know, sometimes Ricky.
Look at him. Look at him. He's going to steal the show. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Look at this cute little spot on his head. Oh, look at those markings. So, okay. I don't know breeds perfectly, but he's got to have some kind of beagle in him, right?
It's crazy. He doesn't.
He doesn't have beagle. Is he hound? What is he?
So I actually got one of those dog DNA.
Of course you did.
He's Chihuahua, Cocker Spaniel, Australian Cattle Dog, American Pit Bull Terrier, Russell type terrier, miniature pincher, dachshund, and super mutt. So
wow, that's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot. He might have a little bit of an identity crisis with that.
Yeah, he's got some issues. He's a rescue from the Houston hurricane, so it's funny, he knows, like, it's like he knows we're talking about him, because he's never, when I do this, he's like usually just laying down relaxing. But
now with like, all of those breeds that you had of the result of the DNA, does he act like a certain breed in that mix? You know, that is, does he have a Napoleon complex because he's bigger? How much does he weigh?
He's 29 pounds. He's kind of a, he's very dense.
He's not dumb dense. He's compact.
Yeah, he's right? Very compact. So I feel like that like denseness and like his body is pretty like solid. That's like, I feel like that's the pit bull coming through, but he's very much a Chihuahua, I feel like, in his personality. But he is more like, he isn't like, he's not super yappy, but he's just kind of a little scaredy cat. And he like, he'll bark and like lunge at dogs when we're walking around that are like 10 times his size. And I'm just like, what are you doing? You're too small for this baby.
Do you see that dog? He could eat you. Yeah. So he has a little bit of the Chihuahua Napoleon complex. Okay.
For sure.
Did you anticipate getting a dog, or was it on your mind, or just what kind of happenstance just happened, right place, right time?
I was thinking about it. And I mean, obviously being a touring musician, it's a really hard decision to like put a dog through that. But my brother and my very good friend, who is his wife, were like, we'll watch him whenever he's gone. They have a dog and they have like three cats and now they have a kid. So until that kid showed up, they were watching him like every time I was out of town. And like, it was nice because, you know, my brother and I are similar. And so he still had that like kind of surrogate for me, as well as like this entire family of animals to be with when I wasn't around. So,
well, it must have brought a lot of peace of mind then, because, you know, the dogs become our babies and we don't want to leave them with just anybody. So it must have been, at least when you're on tour and doing your thing, to know that it was with someone and getting all the love.
So they supported my decision to get a dog, because they were just like, the thing that you're worried about, you don't have to worry about. So we like went to dog adoption fairs and like stuff I was glad to have my sister-in-law there, because she was like, listen, you don't have to get a dog today. Like, don't just settle for a random dog, because it's like, obviously when you're in an adoption fair, it's like a lot. And it's kind of like who's gonna get the dog first kind of thing. So I was just like, not gonna, she made me not settle for like just getting a dog for the sake of it and waiting. And then on Christmas Eve, I think it was like that year, my friend Carl, his father's like was the town vet in the town I grew up in, and I was home for Christmas in Long Island, and I went with him and my other friend because his dad is like the head of the board of the Kent Animal Shelter where I got him from in Long Island. And he was like, let's go there. Like, let's go check it out. And we went, and that's when I saw Rock, and he was shivering in his oversized little sweater. And he was so sweet. And I was like, okay, got him. I swore to myself all the time. Like, I had a dog growing up, and he was like a big lab mix. And he was just like, he had free reign of the neighborhood, no leash ever, I think, in his entire life. And like, would chase the car down, you know, the road. And then go see grandma down the road. Like, he didn't really have, he was just totally like free neighborhood dog. But, and I always swore to myself that would be the kind of dog that I got. And like, I would never get a tiny yappy, like white dog to get hair all over my clothes. But I was just like, I'm getting that exact thing that I swore I would never do, but he's like perfect.
I was going to say, because you had looked at quite a few dogs before that, and it was something that connected when you saw him. It was just kind of instant. That's my dog.
Yeah.
And you had, you growing up, a bigger dog. So you thought, if I get a dog, it's going to be a decent sized dog, not going to be a small one. And then you ended up with 29-pound Rock.
Yeah.
All right. So now that you said, okay, he gets taken care of when you're on tour, you have family taking care of him. How does it fit into your lifestyle? Do you miss him totally when you're away? Do you can't wait to get, or does he go on tour with you sometimes? Does he go around with you if it's local?
It's so funny that he's like named it, you know, he doesn't like music. It doesn't seem like, I mean, he, you know, obviously he's surrounded by it, but like, he's not into loud noises. He gets just like, he was actually at a few recording sessions, and like, you can kind of hear him, if you listen really closely in certain songs, him barking, and like, cause I'm like in the booth, like in our makeshift studio, in our practice space that, you know, we've like just basically put up some like walls, and like he's just barking and getting mad because he hears the noises I'm making, and he's like, what is happening over there?
Like, and you kept him in the songs, like he's actually in the finished product.
Yeah, he's, I mean, we didn't take in some of the vocal, it's like probably totally not, unless you like isolated the vocals in a certain spot where he's like barking, there's probably not a real way to hear it, but he's in there.
Well, are your fans aware of him? Do they know? Do you have pictures and stuff? Like, does he have his own little fan base and groupies, or is he part of the promotional pictures ever, or is he not so much?
He was with us when we did our some photos in New York, and we have some actually. I think one of I did an interview coming out with Maddie Matheson for Talkhouse magazine coming out really soon, and I think they used a picture that we took from that session with me and Rock just by ourselves in that studio.
I think I saw that one. And do you consider him to help you with emotional? I know emotional support dogs are a big thing right now. It just, to me, they've always been, whether you had that title or not, it's just instant when you pet your dog, you're instantly calmed down. But does he bring you back to home base? You get home and that's your comfort to have him around? Or is it on another level of therapy?
I mean, having him during like lockdown and like pandemic and through all of that was, it's like corny to say life-saving, but he was like my constant and my companion through that. So,
yeah, I believe that. And you had him a few years before what year did you get him?
He turned 7 in June. I got him in I had to wait for him because they wouldn't allow me to adopt him until 2 weeks after I met him because he had to be neutered. Uh-huh. So it's hard to do the math there. Yeah. He said he got him when he was a year and a half in January.
Okay, so around 2018-ish. So you had him a couple of years before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Okay. And a lot of people did that. They adopted dogs during the pandemic, which is why we're in a little bit of a crisis now with dogs getting surrendered and whatnot. But they did bring a lot of comfort, and they do bring a lot of comfort. So I guess that is a common ground for a lot of dog owners, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
And what have you learned from having Rock in your life?
I think it's people are like nervous to get a dog, especially when you have like my life isn't always like predictable and like has a routine, but like they force you to do that. And it is worth it, you know, to have that, like you have to go home every night and like take, like, I don't leave him. I've never, like, except being on tour and him having someone else there, I've never like not come home since I've had him. Like, it's nice to have that anchor that brings you like back home, and like to have that like a responsibility, like it creates a routine where I'd never really have one, and that's like extremely helpful and like important.
Yeah, it sounds like he brings you a lot of comfort and grounding, like a responsibility, if you will. It makes you responsible for another being, right?
Yeah, and like he is so spoiled. It's
I was gonna ask you, tell me how he is spoiled. Does he have certain toys that he likes? Does he have certain things? Do you carry him everywhere? Does he cuddle with you? He must sleep on the bed with you, right?
He does, and he's a burrow, like he goes under the covers, and like it's just second nature now. He'll need to readjust, and he'll just come out from under them and kind of, I don't even know how he wakes me up, but he like, I wake up and I just lift them back up, like, so he can go like readjust. And he's a bed dog for sure. He takes up as much space as a full grown man. It's insane.
Yeah. How else do you spoil him? Does he have certain treats that he likes? My dogs eat better than I do, so I understand the spoiling your dog, but what's the biggest indulgence you have for Rock? What's his biggest spoil?
I mean, he's just like, the amount of like stress I've went through like finding a food that he likes is truly, it's kind of ridiculous. Like he's just like such a picky guy, and trying to, like, I remember growing up us being really poor and like feeding the dog and the cat the same food, like from the store, like the cheapest food you could possibly have, and like,
right,
that dog was fine. It like lived an extremely long life, and like I know that that's not the basis of the sole basis of a dog's like health, but like he's just such a picky guy, and I always have like leaned more towards the like grain free or like just at least like the limited ingredient food for him. And I finally like now, and he's just like always been such a, like he would just wait until nighttime to eat like both of his servings of food because he just like didn't like it. But I found a new food. It's like some crazy picky dog food that like costs like $50 for a 20-pound bag, you know?
Right. Of course it's the most expensive one, right?
Yeah. So now he's changed his habits and he eats like a normal dog when I put the food in the bowl. So it's been a process trying to get him to care about dog food for sure.
So would you say he's a good judge of character? Does he like all people, or is he picky with people? You said he pulls on the leash sometimes and goes after the big dogs, but does he get along with other dogs and cats and every human, or is he very protective of you?
He is. He's very lovey he loves everyone. It's kind of ridiculous, but he tends to like always goes towards like females, like women and like women, like female presenting, like any like trans woman he's ever met. He loves like he knows that that's a woman, and he always is like, he goes towards that like feminine energy, but he covets like the male energy so much. It's so silly, like, cause he barks at everyone who isn't that. And like, it's so, it's so funny, because then as soon as he gets the love from them that like they sit down and they pay attention to him and they pet him, he is completely like obsessed with them. And he's just such a little man's man.
Are all the band members used to him by now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he loves Matt. Matt has a certain smell that he really loves. and yeah, he loves them all. He loves the Seeley brothers. He loves all my bandmates a lot. It's very cute.
Has he ever gone into training of any kind, or you just trained him yourself? Or does he have any special tricks?
He isn't really like trained. He has, I think that whoever owned him before me had him in some training. Cause I got him when he was a year and a half. Like, so he knows, like he knew, always knew like sit and paw, and he does know how to lay down, but like he doesn't really like listen when I tell him most of those things. Unless it's a dire situation, he'll listen, but he doesn't have much training besides that.
Okay. And what's your favorite story about him? If you had to, I don't know if I could even pinpoint one of mine, but a favorite story that you have about him, whether it was a funny thing or something he destroyed that was precious to you, or like a special t-shirt or a blanket, or did he have a medical scare of any kind? Like, what's the story that you have about him?
I mean, when I first got him, he was rescued from the Houston hurricane, and he was very thin. He's very like scared of weather. I think that he must have just been left out in that storm and rescued somehow. But he ended up having like heartworms when I got him tested the first time to get his like vaccines and got him tested and everything. So he had full blown heartworms in that full, like, you know, because they can only test for the female, like adult heartworms, I guess. So I had to like pretty much stop him from being like a dog. Like he wasn't like, luckily he's a very chill guy. He didn't need like, I know a lot of dogs need to take like medication to calm them down so they don't overwork their heart during that treatment. Yeah. Luckily he's very chill, but it was sad to like kind of have to downplay him like getting zoomies and like wanting to run around outside. But that was a really hard process. Like that is, it's a really like, leaving him for like overnight and for hours for treatments, like it was also expensive. And like the last dose they do to treat the heartworms, I think it's like around 3 or 4. It's like a 6 month process.
Right.
And that last dose, like I remember picking him up. Me and my brother went to pick him up from the vet, and like he was just like shaking and so scared and so like obviously not knowing what was going on with his body, because it's like they're killing like things living in his heart, and I can't imagine the pain he was in. But yeah, I had to bring him home wrapped up in a blanket and like carry him around for like they just have him with me all day and that, and like until he felt better. And that was like, I feel like that was a huge bonding moment even for him and like my brother and me. Like I'll just, he knew that we were there to like take care of him.
And he's fully recovered now, I take it? He recovered?
Yeah, he's fully recovered. He's still a pretty lazy guy, but he's fully recovered.
Speaking of zoomies, we wrap up the podcast with 5 questions, because, you know, dogs like to do the little zoom, zoom, zoom. So we're going to run through 5 questions that we call the zoomies. All right, you ready for these? They're kind of like speed dating. You ready?
Sure, I'm ready.
Do you kiss your dog on the mouth?
Not with tongue, but yes.
Okay. Details. Yes. Does your dog have a theme song? Like, what would your dog's red carpet music be if he was entering a room?
My joke is that he hates music. So he's really, I don't know if he has one. He likes silence.
Like silence. Maybe the Rocky theme song, though. I'm thinking rock, yeah. Something rock. If your dog toured with you, what would they want on the tour rider?
Popcorn.
That's his favorite snack, human snack?
Yeah, when I make it in the air popper, I'll make like a little tiny separate bowl with nothing on it for him when I have popcorn and like I'm watching a movie.
Oh my gosh.
So popcorn awesome. Together.
Do you have a dog voice? All of us talk to our dogs in a certain voice, but do you have a certain one that he responds to, or have you given him what you think his voice would be?
I don't do a lot of his voice, but I definitely have a voice. Like I don't even know if I could do it on command. It's like a very, it's such a strange thing when you develop that voice for talking to your dog, but.
Agreed. But yeah. You do have one. That's all.
I definitely have one.
Is there a dog organization or a service you'd like to give a shout out to? Cause we'll do a shout out for sure.
Yeah. I think Paws in Philadelphia is so amazing. Like there are times when I don't think I could have taken care of him the way I needed to without their help. Like they do like a vaccine clinic that's like so much more affordable than most vets, and just they're super helpful. And
is it PAWS, like the acronym, or is,
yeah,
okay, because we'll look it
so
up.
It's like Philadelphia Animal whatever, like it's the, yeah, but it's PAWS the acronym.
Oh, okay. I was born in Philly. I was born in media.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So tell me about the tattoo on your arm, the dog tattoo. A thigh on your thigh.
Oh, yeah. It was a wolf originally, but I was like, this actually looks exactly like my dog growing up. It's like uncanny, the like shagginess. And yeah, so it was originally supposed to be a wolf howling at the moon, but he's definitely got some of my old dog Dougie in him, that wolf on my leg.
Well, you might need to get one of Rock, right?
Yeah, I know. I've been thinking on it, like what would be a good representation of him, but we're still working on that idea.
All right. Well, your band Sheer Mag, you got a new album out.
Yeah.
Right? Let's talk about what's going on real quick before we wrap it up. What's going on for your spring and your summer? It's your third album, right?
It's our third album. I'm just really excited that it's like out in the world, and like I feel like it's been well received so far. And yeah, for the summer, we're going to Europe in August. We're also playing Field Day. Field Day is May 31st to June 1st weekend, that last weekend in May. It's at Field Day, and like, you know, obviously wrapping up a spring tour that goes till May 10th. So I'm sure there'll be so much more coming out. It's like just the tip of the iceberg announced right now for this album cycle. So I'm sure there'll be tons of stuff happening.
Well, that's great. I wish you and the band great success, and give a nice little hug to Rock for me. I love him already, and I don't even know him. And but I really appreciate you taking the time and telling us about your dog.
Thanks so much for having me.